Shall we stand as we join in singing our first hymn this morning, number 31, To God Be the Glory.
Good morning. Just have several announcements to bring to your attention. First is, if you have Easter flowers and you haven't taken them home yet, please take them after the service this morning. Also, for this week, this is Celebration Sunday, and we will be recognizing those who have birthdays and anniversaries this month after the service in Fellowship Hall, so please join us for that. Also, on Thursday evening this week, we have the Music Committee meeting at 6:30, followed by the Deacons at 7, and Friday morning at 9:15 is the prayer group. And also, regarding the service for Marilyn White next Sunday afternoon, if you can bake a dessert for the reception after that, please see Barbara McKay after the service this morning so that we can coordinate the refreshments. And I believe those are all the announcements for this morning. Now let's listen to the prayer.
Thank you.
James said 260.
No, I said 260.
There's
one in every crowd.
I know.
Kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Old Testament is Psalm 133, which you'll find on page 501 in the Pew Bibles. How very good and pleasant it is when kindred live together in unity. It is like the precious oil on the head running down upon the beard, on the beard of Aaron, running down over the collar of his robes. It is like the dew of Hermon, which falls on the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord ordained his blessing, life forevermore. May God add his blessing to this reading of his word.
Shackled by heavy burden, neath the load of guilt and shame, then the hand of Jesus touched me. Now I am no longer touched me, oh, he touched me, and oh, the joy that floods my soul. Something happened, and now I know he touched me and made me whole. Since I met the blessed Savior, since he cleansed and made me whole, I will never cease to praise him. I'll shout it while eternity rolls. He touched me, oh, he touched me, and oh, the joy that floods my soul. Something happened, and now I know he touched me and made me whole. He touched me and made me
Christ's name. Amen.
for our story. Well, thank you, sir. Morning, ladies. Oh, I should have worn pink and black today. Look at where you both are. A few weeks ago, when they were predicting that first snowstorm in March, I asked the congregation if everyone was a little tired of that weather. Are you?
Yes.
And yet, from the time that I first talked about that storm, we've had, what, two or three more?
Yeah.
Even yesterday morning, I'm standing outside with the dogs and there were snowflakes coming down. I'm tired of scraping the window of my car before I can drive. I'm tired of turning the heat on. I'm ready to give up and cry uncle to this winter. And yet, I look outside and I realize nature hasn't given up. The trees in my backyard have buds on them. The birds are out there singing, and I can see the migration, the birds coming from the south, heading north. And even a few crocus have popped up through the leaves, and they have their little pretty blossoms covered with frost, but they persisted. Now, I have to say, March was kind of a stinky month at my house. Literally and figuratively, although no, I won't feel too. Okay, besides the snow, I had numerous vet bills for my beloved animals. Let's see, work, yeah, we don't even want to talk about that, but yeah, it's been pretty bad. Let's see, I had jury duty, the sewer, backed up in the basement. But don't feel too sorry for me, it was clean laundry water, not actual sewage. But it was one thing after another, and I was getting really worn out. Until I looked at some of the materials I had been gathering for Sunday school that we're going to be working on in the next few weeks. And there, in black and white, I'd like to say it was a sign from God. In the Sunday school materials, there was a verse that we're going to be working on, which said, cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. Talk about a sign, written in black and white for me. Well, that verse comes from the letter 1 Peter in our Bibles, and I continued reading it, and even verse 10 fits with my dismal, I'm tired of winter attitude, where Peter writes, God always gives you all the grace you need, so you will only have to suffer for a little while. Then God himself will build you up again. He will make you strong and steady, and he has chosen you to share in his eternal glory because you belong to Christ. Give him the power forever and ever. Amen. Amen indeed. So ladies, I just want to remind you and congregation, when you just feel like the world is against you, and you're tired, and you're cold, and you're miserable, like those plants and birds, continue to reach for the sun. Would you join me in a moment of prayer? Let's hold our hands and bow our heads and say, oh Lord, we thank you for the trials and tribulations in our lives because we know it brings us closer to you. Lord, we thank you for the sunshine and the birds and the plants that remind us that the signs of your great love are all around us. In the name of our Savior Jesus, who gives us his strength, we pray. Amen.
When the trumpet of the Lord shall sound and times will be no more, and the morning breaks eternal bright and fair, When the saved of earth shall gather over on the other shore, when the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, 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 I'll be there. Oh, that bright and cloudless morning, when the dead in Christ shall rise, and the glory of his resurrection share. When his chosen ones shall gather to their own beyond the skies, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, 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 I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, 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 I'll be there.
Because that's who it traditionally found spent most of her week cleaning the house and washing the clothes, not to mention cooking and all the other chores she had. There was no wall-to-wall carpeting, so carpets were taken up, taken outside, placed on a clothesline, and beaten with a rattan rug beater. I heard someone say, While they were airing out, the woman would sweep all the floors in the house, then get down on her hands and knees with a scrub brush, and wash every floor laboriously by hand. Once finished, the rugs were hauled back in, placed back on the floors, and it was time to make dinner. The next day was given over to doing the laundry. If the woman was fortunate, she had a close by water source from which to fill the wash tubs that she had hauled from the shed with which to do the laundry. One tub was placed over a fire to heat the water. Then the clothes were scrubbed on a washboard with a brush or against each other until they were cleaned. Then it was carefully moved into the rinse tub, thoroughly rinsed, wrung out by hand, and hung to dry in the yard. Needless to say, the advent of electricity revolutionized cleaning. Women had vacuum cleaners, washing machines, clothes dryers, and even dishwashers to relieve them of the everyday drudgery of cleaning. Then came Roomba, a practical and affordable robotic appliance with a very practical application, cleaning. The original Roomba would vacuum your kitchen or living room while you're off reading a book or walking the dog. Roomba was conceived at iRobot, the Massachusetts Institute of Technology's Artificial Intelligence Lab offshoot company. Roomba is cordless and rechargeable. It navigates around obstacles, avoids precipices like stairs, is protected by its non-marring bumpers and infrared sensors. It moves over ever-expanding concentric circles, working to the space's perimeter, and then it begins a crisscross pattern, ultimately covering 95% of the floor. When finished, Roombas return to their base and silently recharge. And then there's their cousin, Skoomba, which does what? It washes the kitchen floor and then returns to its base to recharge. The beauty of all Roombas. The beauty of all Roombas is that they work absolutely alone, and they will never steal the silver. The scientists who designed these robots did their homework. The physicists studied dust and dirt. Their team invented and then developed efficient machines that functioned on a tiny amount of electrical power. And God did the same thing. God identified a problem. Call it a design flaw, if you will. Well, actually, that's not quite accurate, because God doesn't create anything with a design flaw. But he did create us with free will. So we go from being clean to being muddied and dirty with sin. Jesus used defilement language to describe the condition of the heart in Matthew 15, 19, and 20, when he said, "For out of the heart come evil intentions, murder, adultery, fornication, theft, false witness, slander. These are what defile a person." And in today's text, cleaning imagery was invoked by John when he said, "If we confess our sins, he who is faithful and just will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness." God sent Jesus to give us some help, cleansing us from our sin, to give us a fresh, clean, new start. So then you have to look at the problem of sin. Does sin exist? I have known people, many people, who say that sin doesn't exist. We occasionally just fall into bad habits. Perhaps they don't see all the suffering humans cause one another. Perhaps they can't see the broken among us. Maybe they can't see the broken bodies which come from human hands sinning with guns or needles. Maybe they don't feel any of that pain. And if not, then maybe we have the unfeeling, unseen robots of movies and TV walking in our midst. Maybe they sanitize the problem of sin and call it by another name. Mistakes were made. Errors in judgment. Creative accounting, not sin, was Bernie Madoff's fault. Immaturity and stress caused by the abuses of ISIS and the war in Syria. All good intentions just gone awry. I have news for you. Sin is real. And sin is as common as the dust that our Roombas pick up off the floor. Sin is as ever present as the dirt tracked onto our newly cleaned floor by someone who forgot to remove their shoes again. Sin, there it is, a dirty word we don't like to contemplate. It is a dirty word because it speaks about what we don't want to hear. It speaks about us, our treatment of each other, and our treatment of God. Sin isn't just the big stuff, it's the small stuff too. Sin is anything that separates us from God, hides us from God's light, away from God's love. Because sin appears too common to the human condition, we are tempted to minimize its danger and its presence. We think we're all good people. We just have some annoyingly bad behaviors. It's not bad to be a sinner. No more bad than it is to have dark cat hairs covering our sofas. Unattractive? Yes. Troublesome? Yes. You just have to clean it up and keep the cat off the carpet. And good luck with that. Dirt on the floor, that's the natural order in this world. Sin on our souls, that's the natural order in this life. We are tasked with cleaning it up and trying to keep it away. God takes a more serious view of sin, if we are to believe the scripture. While sin is common to the human condition, to be fully human is not to live in sin, but to strive to live beyond it as a forgiven people. We can't sweep away our responsibility for our sin by saying we are just human. We can try to stay clean of sin, but it is impossible because we are human. And to be human is to err, and to err is to sin. It's like trying to keep our house clean, but it gets dirty anyway. We can take off our shoes every time we come into the house, but dust and dirt creep in around the edges of our doors, so we still need to clean it regularly. As clean as we try to live, try as hard as we like, sin also creeps in. We know the steps to cleaning our homes and doing our laundry. But do we know how we clean our souls of sin? There is a four-step solution presented in Scripture. Worship is number one. Participating with others in worship provides a whole sense of renewal. It helps renew our souls. It helps to cleanse and keep them clean. Second is prayer, inviting God daily into our life, for this reminds us of our reason for being. Third, read the Scripture. Study the Word on a regular basis. It helps to discern God's will for our lives. And finally, there's soul searching. Do a spiritual inventory coupled with confession, because that sweeps out the dust and helps us feel spiritually fresh and clean. iRobot wanted to build a reliable appliance. Nobody wants to buy a machine that costs thousands of dollars, needs to be rebooted twice a day, and requires a doctorate in software engineering to operate. So they created Roomba. Staying clean spiritually doesn't need to be hard work either. All it takes to get clean with Christ is confession and repentance, then acceptance of God's forgiveness, then walk away and go forward with confidence, newly cleansed through the Spirit and love of our Savior. Amen. Our prayer hymn this morning is number 395, Be Thou My Vision. We will sing verses 1, 2, and 4. If you have a prayer request, jot it down on the cards in the pew in front of you. Pass it to the end of the aisle where it will be collected by our ushers. And please remain seated as we sing. Healing for Regina and strength for her family. Syria who were sprayed with poison gas, and for those who offered and carried out the act of cruelty. We are told to pray for our enemies. For Lori, a co-worker's friend who has breast cancer, and for both Bev and Ron Tooley, and for the family of Marilyn White. It's been a tough week here at First Baptist. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you that we have the assurance of the forgiveness of sin, that all we need to do is to turn to you, to confess, to repent, and to accept your offer of safety and redemption. That all can be made clean again, that we do not need to wallow in sin, that we are a forgiven people, that we can act as forgiven people, that we can reach out to others who are so mired in sin that they cannot feel their way out, that we can reach out a hand, remembering our own sin, so that we do not judge, we just encourage and draw others to you. Lord, as a forgiven people, help us to be your agents in the world. Help us to sow seeds of love and peace that will flower in this violent world. We look around us, we see how broken the world is, how our sin has caused so much misery. So Lord, we turn to you and we do repent this morning. We ask that you would receive us anew as a cleansed people, that you would empower us, that you would send us forth to do your work, that we would be the peacemakers. We remember those we have mentioned by name this morning, those who are ill. We ask that you would reach out and touch them, that you would heal them. We thank you for healings already granted. For those who have gone to meet you, we praise your name. We thank you that those who have been lonely and longing for loved ones are at peace and reunited with them forever in glory. On this day, the second Sunday of Easter, we remember your resurrection. We remember the hope and the joy it brings to us. And we joyfully come before you knowing that you have risen to give us eternal life. And we accept that gift with love and humility. And this morning we remember those all over the world who have been displaced by war, displaced by the sins of others. We pray that as they wander the earth, they would find sanctuary and safety, that they would find safe haven in which to raise families, that they might have adequate food and shelter and gainful employment. We remember those around the world who have sacrificed so much for freedom, for those who serve in our armed forces, who serve in places of great danger. We ask that you would give them courage. We ask that you would give them rest and discernment, that they would feel your presence close to them in difficult days. We pray that they would come home safely to be reunited with loved ones. But for those who come home wounded in body or spirit, we ask a special blessing this morning, Lord. We ask that you would pour out your love upon them, that you would send the great physician to touch and to heal, that he would walk with them on difficult journeys of restoration until they are whole. Lord, we thank you that Jesus came to break the cycle of sin in our lives. We pray that we would remember this great gift each and every day, that we are cleansed anew through the love of our Lord and Savior, in whose name we pray. Amen. Our final hymn this morning is number 641, The the light of the world is Jesus. Shall we stand? Christ lives triumphant.